Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Authorities say the highly contagious Delta variant is spreading quickly in the U.S., doubling in just 2 weeks. Tonight, Dr. Fauci now saying this is currently the greatest threat in the U.S. in trying to end this pandemic. This evening, the White House now conceding we will not hit the president's goal for the 4th of July vaccinations. So when will we? And the late headline as we come on tonight, more than 150 hospital workers reportedly resigning or terminated because they were told they had to get the vaccine. Also breaking as we come on the air, the Senate vote involving that sweeping election reform bill. Democrats united tonight, moderate Joe Manchin on board on the bill that they say would protect voters' rights, making Election Day a national holiday so Americans can get to the polls. Mitch McConnell saying Republicans will block it, what he said before this key vote. Rachel Scott live on the Hill tonight. New reporting tonight after a two-year-old boy is shot in the family car. The family coming home from basketball practice. Authorities now say the suspect's meant to shoot into another car. Our team inside Afghanistan tonight as U.S. troops leave the alarming new images tonight. The video reportedly showing Afghan troops handing over weapons to the Taliban. Martha Raddatz tonight one-on-one with a Taliban militant. What he says about retaking Kabul. And about the thousands of interpreters and others who helped the U.S., who are now begging for help from the U.S. State Department to get out before the U.S. leaves. Back here at home tonight, the storms up and down the East Coast as that major front moves through. And the fires in the West tonight, at least 47 now burning. And what's now coming right behind all of this, Ginger Z is here. The overwhelming reaction tonight to that brave personal message from Carl Nassib, the first active NFL player to come out. Massive hoping messages like his will soon be a thing of the past. And the remarkable numbers tonight, what's now happened in less than 24 hours. The scare at the amusement park, the ride halted. You can see the column shaking. Tonight, the concern on Cape Cod involving lifeguards, why some families will be told to swim at their own risk. Your health tonight, the new study on coffee and what it might do. And America strong tonight. He earned a Purple Heart, now 90 years young, what he has just done.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night, and we have a lot to get to tonight. We're going to begin tonight with the coronavirus here in the U.S., and this evening, Dr. Anthony Fauci now saying this Delta variant spreading quickly in the U.S., is now the single greatest threat in trying to end this pandemic. The White House tonight acknowledging the U.S. will not reach that 4th of July goal to have 70% of adults with at least one dose. Dr. Fauci saying late today will likely hit that mark a couple of weeks after the 4th. Tonight, the numbers here, 168 million adults have had at least one dose. That's about 65% now of those 18 and older. And the White House pointing out with adults 30 and older, they've hit the goal. That it's really getting to those younger adults, younger than 30, to convince them to get the vaccine and to take this Delta variant seriously. In fact, authorities saying it has doubled in the U.S. in just 2 weeks. And we have just learned tonight that more than 150 employees of a Houston-based hospital system have now resigned or were terminated for refusing to be vaccinated. ABC's Victor Akendo leading us off tonight.
Tonight, officials are calling the highly contagious Delta variant the greatest threat in our fight against the virus, now accounting for 20% of new cases across the country, and it's doubling every 2 weeks.
It's more important than ever to get vaccinated now to stop the chain of infection.
That strain, now in at least 47 states, accounting for nearly half of all infections from Iowa to Colorado. In northwest Missouri, the Delta variant, coupled with low vaccination rates, leading to a spike in cases and hospitalizations.
I hoped it'd be different and that by now we would be vaccinated, we'd be on with our lives.
Officials warning that younger people across the U.S. could be more vulnerable to the variant, only 38% of 18 to 29-year-olds have received at least one dose.
The reality is many younger Americans have felt like COVID-19 is not something that impacts them, and they've been less eager to get the shot.
Today, the Biden administration saying it may take longer than expected to reach their goal of vaccinating 70% of American adults by the 4th of July.
We think it'll take a few extra weeks to get to 70% of all adults with at least one shot, with the 18 to 26-year-olds factored in.
They're now calling that goal aspirational.
That's not the goal line. That's the aspirational goal. The goal line is to completely crush this outbreak. So no one should think that when we reach the 70% across the country, that we're done.
Some taking measures into their own hands. On the ground in Florida, Pastor Marcel Davis going door to door.
How you doing, ma'am?
Trying to find and convince those who have yet to get a shot.
Have you been vaccinated? I want to encourage young people to realize, yes, wake up, be woke, and know the consequences.
I've gone to at least, you know, 24 funerals of people who've had COVID, but I often say I've not been to any funerals of someone who died from the vaccine.
And today was also the deadline for employees at Houston Methodist to comply with a mandatory COVID-19 vaccine policy. 153 employees have either resigned or were terminated, but that's just a small portion of the hospital system's employees. They have 26,000 of them. David?
Victor Akendo leading us off tonight. Victor, thank you. And now to that key vote just moments ago in Washington, the voting rights showdown in this country. The Senate taking a key vote on the Democrats' sweeping election reform bill. We have just learned tonight it did not pass. The bill would have, among other things, made Election Day a federal holiday, making it easy for Americans to get to the polls. It would have required at least 15 consecutive days of early voting. It also placed limits on partisan gerrymandering. Vice President Kamala Harris presiding over the vote. The Democrats united, moderate Joe Manchin on board. But, of course, the Democrats only had 50 votes. They needed 60, and not one Republican voted for it. Tonight, the reaction already pouring in. Rachel Scott with late reporting from the Hill tonight.
Tonight, Vice President Kamala Harris presiding over a key vote to advance Democrats' sweeping voting rights bill.
The clerk will call the roll.
Senate Democrats united after a last-minute effort to win over West Virginia's Joe Manchin, who met with President Biden.
What was President Biden's message to you in that meeting?
Just to be clear, you're undecided. We had a nice conversation. President's message are very, very confidential.
Manchin now on board after his own changes to the bill, including voter ID, were embraced by voting rights activist Stacey Abrams and former President Barack Obama. The legislation would make Election Day a federal holiday, require at least 15 consecutive days of early voting, and limit partisan gerrymandering. And it comes as Republicans in 15 states enact tough new voting restrictions.
I fear that if we don't act as a body in this moment, we will have crossed a dangerous Rubicon in our nation that will make it extremely difficult for the next generation to secure voting rights for every eligible American.
But the Senate Republican leader today calling the bill,
Democrats' transparently partisan plan to tilt every election in America permanently in their favor.
Democrats need 60 votes to move this bill forward. They only have 50. And tonight, with zero Republican support, it's a non-starter.
Did not pass. Let's get right to Rachel Scott live on the Hill tonight. Rachel, Democrats were united on this, but as we pointed out, the Senate 50-50. They did not get one Republican vote, and Democrats plan to make sure Americans know that. What's the reaction so far?
David, Democrats tonight wanted to get every single Republican on the record on this issue. They want to paint Republicans ahead of the midterm elections as against expanding voting rights legislation. Vice President Kamala Harris speaking just moments ago, she said the fight is not over. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says make no mistake about it, this issue will come back up for debate on the Senate floor. A senior Democratic source telling me tonight that the Democrats will be revisiting this before the fall. David?
All right, Rachel Scott with late reporting from the Hill tonight. Rachel, thank you. We also have new reporting tonight after a 2-year-old boy was shot and killed in the family car, that family coming home from basketball practice. Authorities now say the suspects meant to shoot into another car. Here's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, investigators in Michigan with a heartbreaking update in the shooting death of 2-year-old Bryson Christian. Police say the gunman who fired on the family's car believed they were targeting someone else.
It was a mistaken identity of a car, an innocent family shot at by somebody too reckless to know who it was they had a beef with.
Bryson's devastated family left shocked.
I feel like none of my family was supposed to make it out that truck. My wife and both my kids are in the car. And, you know, Bryson is in his car seat where he's supposed to be. You know, I was doing the right thing.
Bryson was shot and killed last Thursday while his family was driving on the I-75 freeway in Detroit. According to police, the Christians were driving home from their 9-year-old son's basketball practice when they suddenly heard multiple gunshots and their car began to malfunction. After pulling over, they saw both of their sons had been shot. Both boys were rushed to the hospital. 9-year-old BJ was treated for a gunshot wound to his arm. Bryson did not survive.
What the officers had to see, what this family had to see, and that car seat will live with us for the rest of our lives.
Police arresting and charging two Detroit area men with the shooting, saying they immediately left the scene in their vehicle and mistakenly targeted the Christian's truck because of its color and make.
And David, Detroit law enforcement announced today a new highway monitoring program named after that little boy, Operation Bryson. Cameras and increased patrols will be implemented to watch for incidents of violence on the freeways. David.
All right, Stephanie, thank you. Overseas tonight, our team inside Afghanistan as U.S. troops leave. In the alarming new images tonight, the video reportedly showing Afghan troops handing over weapons to the Taliban. Tonight, our Martha Raddatz one-on-one with a Taliban militant. What he says about retaking Kabul and about the thousands of interpreters and others who helped the U.S. who are now begging for help from the U.S. State Department to get out before the U.S. fully leaves. Here's Martha.
With the U.S. withdrawal well over halfway complete and no peace deal in place, the Taliban is now retaking towns and territories at an alarming rate. Tonight, the Taliban releasing video it claims shows Afghan soldiers surrendering weapons and military vehicles. But hundreds of Afghan soldiers have been slaughtered in fierce fighting across Afghanistan.
The majority of the districts that have been taken are many, many miles from here in Kabul. But the big question is, what happens here when all of the U.S. forces leave Afghanistan?
Already with the announced withdrawal of U.S. forces, the violence in this city has seen a dramatic increase. At this girls' school in Kabul last month, more than 85 were killed by multiple bombs, mostly young girls. We met 17-year-old Sadiqa Mahmoudi just out of the hospital, still recovering from serious wounds. She fears it will happen again.
I'm very scared about it.
The fear is everywhere. Abdul, we will use only his first name, was side by side with U.S. Marines in Helmand Province as an interpreter. Now with a wife and three children, the fear of a Taliban resurgence is near paralyzing.
If they take over of the Kabul, directly they will come and they will behead us or they will kill us.
Like 18,000 others, he has yet to get a visa to leave the country, despite the U.S. State Department saying it is a priority. We traveled to the outskirts of the city to the home of the Taliban's Haji Saeed Akbar Aga, a senior leader when the Taliban was in charge in this country.
The Taliban is taking over many districts. Will they eventually come here to Kabul?
It's checklist.
I have no doubt we will, he said, claiming the population supports it.
We just spoke to an Afghan who was an interpreter for the American military. He is very frightened that he will be killed by the Taliban when the Americans leave.
He claims they would be safe.
And Martha Raddatz reporting in from Kabul tonight. And Martha, we heard you interview that former senior leader when the Taliban was in control, who said that these interpreters are going to be safe. Of course, they can't be trusted. And we know, as you pointed out there, there are some 18,000 interpreters and others who work with the U.S. who are desperate to get these visas to get out of Afghanistan. They say their lives depend on it. The State Department saying this is a priority. So what's holding up all these cases with the Americans now leaving?
Well, David, there simply isn't a system in place to handle that many people, and there was already a backlog. Add to that a massive COVID outbreak at the U.S. Embassy here. It is essentially in lockdown, David.
All right. Martha Raddatz on the ground in Afghanistan. Martha, thank you. Back here at home tonight, the storms in the east, flash flooding in Providence, Rhode Island late today. This car caught in those floods. While in the west, at least 47 wildfires are now burning, this one in Arizona here. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z tracking it all for us again tonight. Hi, Ginger.
Hey there, David. This is a cold front. It is stormy. It's blustery. It's just downright nasty. And we saw temperatures drop behind this thing some 30 degrees in 24 hours in New York State. In Virginia, gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Still some lingering rain from Maine down to Florida along the Gulf Coast. Back to the west where they are not at all saturated, but very dry. And then you add a low pressure system in the mid-levels and a high. And between those two, they work kind of like two gears. Squeezed storms between, but the storms can't reach the ground because it's too dry. So you have dry lightning, super high fire danger, and unfortunately, David, a big uptick in temperatures in the next week.
We'll be watching it with you. Thank you, Ginger. Now to the overwhelming reaction tonight to that brave personal message from Carl Nassib, the first active NFL player to come out. Nassib hoping messages like his will soon be a thing of the past. Here's ABC's Kaylee Hartung.
Tonight, an outpouring of support for Carl Nassib, the first active NFL player to come out as a gay man. In the backyard of his Pennsylvania home, he looked into the camera on his phone and made history, offering a message that he hopes will soon no longer be needed in our society. This is what he said.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that, like, one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary.
An interception by Nassib.
Nassib's team, the Las Vegas Raiders, the NFL, and so many others now applauding his brave personal message. NFL star J.J. Watt tweeting, "Good for you, Carl. Glad you feel comfortable enough to share." Tennis legend Billie Jean King writing, "The ability to live an authentic life is so important." Carl Nassib determined to make this about more than just himself, announcing this.
I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America, and they're truly doing incredible things.
Tonight, the Trevor Project telling ABC News donations have increased 50%. Visits to their site up 350%.
I think people were moved that Carl, in what is for many people a really deeply personal, private moment, Carl chose to lift up young people.
The NFL tweeting today, "You can be that person to save a life." The 28-year-old saying he agonized over this moment for the last 15 years, but now feels gratitude and relief.
I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day. Work hard.
And David, tonight the NFL announcing it's matching Carl Nassib's pledge to the Trevor Project. That's another $100,000 for the organization. And if you need support, you can call the Trevor Lifeline anytime at 866-488-7386. David.
They are doing important work and just an incredible reaction to this. Kaylee, thank you. When we come back, news tonight on what's happening in the air involving unruly airline passengers and the scare at the amusement park. The ride halted. You could actually see the column shaking.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, news from the FAA on unruly airline passengers now racking up hundreds of thousands of dollars in potential fines. The FAA reporting about 3,100 incidents just since the start of the year, mostly over masks. The scare at Six Flags America outside Washington, D.C. Safety sensors halting the new ride, Spinsanity, as it's called. Video showing a column actually shaking, riders still buckled into their seats. No one was hurt. The ride spins up to 70 miles per hour, rising 150 feet. Above the ground. Cape Cod is running short on lifeguards this season. Several communities say they're unable to fully staff their beaches, having trouble hiring and training lifeguards during the pandemic. Some communities now warning tourists they might have to swim at their own risk. And that new study tonight showing coffee may reduce the risk of liver disease. Researchers say people who drink at least 3 cups of coffee, regular, decaf, or instant, have a dramatically reduced risk of all types of chronic liver disease and a reduced risk of death. A study published in the journal BMC Public Health. I'll be reading really quickly tomorrow night. Finally tonight, the veteran who earned a Purple Heart, now at 90, reminding us he's America strong. Joseph Dale Jaramillo from Delta, Colorado. He served in the Korean War, a private first class in the Army, at first dreaming of joining the Army's 101st Airborne. But there was an issue.
I signed up for the 101st Airborne. I only weighed 128 pounds. I had to weigh 140.
But he would go on to serve for 5 years with the 1st Cavalry Division, earning a Purple Heart he still wears proudly around his neck. After the war, he started a family, children, grandchildren, but always dreaming of the sky. And so for his 90th birthday, he decided to jump.
I'm so excited to jump.
His family cheering, and 14,000 feet up in the air, Private First Class Jaramillo finally taking the leap. Over Erda, Utah, the parachute landing back on the ground and joining us tonight from solid ground.
Hi, David.
Private First Class Jaramillo on the moment he waited 70 years for.
That wind was something else, but oh, it was so peaceful. I've been thinking about diving out of a plane all these years, and finally I got it over with.
Happy 90th, Joe. We salute you. Good night.